Still thinking pretty seriously about moving to something else for a while. Still have a full 11 chapters to go in Proverbs, and I'm wondering if maybe we should take a break. Who's for Genesis? It's been a long time. Everybody for Genesis? Anybody opposed to Genesis? Speak right up or forever hold your peace. Yeah, it seems like it was 2001 or 2, somewhere like that, I think. It's been a while. It's been a long time. So, could be. Proverbs 19. Don't forget to be praying, guys. We'll set up some stuff too. Maybe think about, fasting days or something for the revival coming up. November 8th through the 11th. Again, Monday through Thursday this time around. Brother Peacock. And again, you'll look back on the meeting, I'm sure, and have some memorable things that you have heard. So I look forward to it. Proverbs 19. Proverbs chapter 19. All right, down to verse 18. Now, this is going to seem pretty repetitious, I'm sure, for some. It's something we Bible believers are pretty well versed in. But notice verse 18, "Chasten thy son while there is hope. Let not thy soul spare for his crying." Now, I know what folks think these days. You know, if you talk to guys, kids, you know, kids my age, everybody got a whooping, right? Everybody got a whooping by people that weren't their parents. You know, when I was a kid, teachers would whoop the dog out of us, man. Coaches, anybody else. Now, these days, of course, that's a horrible, terrible no-no, right? And so everybody has the stories about, well, you know, my dad whipped me with a belt buckle the size of a dinner plate and all this kind of stuff. And nobody's advocating that. You understand? I mean, in part, this is for the record, folks, because I didn't cut my mic off tonight. But in the state of Minnesota, it is still legal to spank your child, right? That's going to apply to you real quick, I can see. The problem is, yeah. Careful, your sister can whip you too. The problem is, of course, that with the leaving, with the report from outside from anybody, you're in trouble. Because they're going to become intrusive, involve themselves in your lives, right? The other thing is if you leave a mark and somebody in authority or outside of authority sees the mark, I'm talking about a bruise. Now, folks, I'm not talking about, nobody should slash their children. Everybody understands that. I don't know how many bruises I ever carried on my rear end, but I was pretty blue sometimes, I'll tell you that. And that's not the end of the world, by the way. That is one of the more fleshy parts of the body. That's what the baby's buttocks were put there for, in part. Nevertheless, if you leave a mark on a kid's bottom, you could be in big trouble going to the doctor, right? Now, understanding that, you still in our society are Bible believers. And you still need to exercise your prerogatives. Not because you can, but because your children need it, right? Now, here's the deal. Let's go over and run a couple of verses here. I know you know the verses in Proverbs. Maybe we'll see some later. 1 Samuel 2. 1 Samuel 2. And I've learned that in the ministry that one of the things that folks have a hard time with is the not only the discipline, but in general, just rearing kids. There's all kinds of things that go through parents' minds. And I can now speak openly and with some experience because my oldest is 20-something. And I've got them down, to 12 now. So I've raised kids to adulthood. So I know what I'm talking about when I say sometimes raising kids is scary. Taking that first kid into the teen years is a scary thing, right? Now here's what folks a lot of times wrestle with. 1 Samuel 2, 29. 1 Samuel 2, 29. I think you'd agree that if it can happen to this guy, Samuel, it can sure happen to me and you, right? Verse 29, "Wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and at mine offering, which I have commanded in my habitation, and honorest thy sons above me, to make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people." Now, obviously, Samuel's sons were committing terrible trespass at the very door of the temple and all those things, right? So it's probably going to be different for your kids, but one of the things that a parent fights is sometimes knowing what maybe he should do, but honoring his kid above God. It's easy to do that, you know. I mean, you get to a situation, well, what do I do, you know? And, you know, there are times that, you know, you'd like to step up and do something radical, and you can't. But you have to be careful, and you need to start young in not honoring your kids above God. Tell you what, folks, what you see all the time, you know, if you were a teacher, maybe even a Sunday school teacher, if you were a teacher, if you're a preacher, if you're in the ministry, what you'll see all the time is that, you know, somebody's kid is believed above somebody, you know, even an adult sometimes. That's a dangerous situation. You don't want to get in that mode of doing things, right? Could anybody agree with me on that? I mean, it's a dangerous situation. Now look in, 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 13, and you'll see another statement here that ought to lighten your eyes with regard to Samuel and his sons. I have told him, Samuel, that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. Now, this is not Samuel. This is Eli, right? Sorry, I said Samuel twice, but he restrained them not. Now, you know, I don't know. You see the little rugrats in Walmart throwing a fit and screaming and kicking and squalling and bellering and hollering and no tears involved at all. And you see moms and dads that do not restrain them, right? A kid needs restraint. And so you go to Proverbs 19. We'll visit another place or two here in just a second. In fact, let's do it now. 1 Kings 1. Somebody as high up as David was. 1 Kings chapter 1. And the thing that makes this an interesting case is, you know, that David, in some regards, was involved with this because of his own sins, right? 1 Kings chapter 1. Some nasty soul stuck some gum or something on the corner of my Bibles so that they all pull together 20 pages at a time. It drives me nuts. 1 Kings, probably me. 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 6. Now this is Adonijah, son of Haggith, verse 5, exalted himself, saying, I will be king, etc., etc. Verse 6, and his father had not displeased him at any time in saying, why hast thou done so? He also was a very goodly man, and his mother bare him after Absalom. Now here's a situation where a kid is not displeased by his parents. Somebody as high up as David, you know, his father does not displease him at any time. And again, one thing about this is that David, of course, is reaping for sins and so on in his life. And so that's part of it, right? He knows somewhere along the way he's going to lose four sons. And so it's just really hard to take. So he's reaping for his sins. So because he's reaping for his sins, he's easy on his kids. So you have Amnon, bad news, right? This guy, bad news, right? Absalom, bad news, right? Why? Because he did not restrain them. Now, and part of that was his sins. That's true. It is sometimes hard, especially when you're conscious that your kid is, you know, hit 13, 14 years old, maybe of a girl, maybe a guy, and they've been having a hard time. So they're a teenager now, the trouble teens we always hear about, and get to some critical point about some critical thing and call it dress or music or friends or some such thing. It's just really easy to let them have their way because it means so much to them. It's hard for you to say no, especially knowing what you did when you were their age. Now, folks, You still need to restrain them, and sometimes it will displease them. I learned a long time ago, I've said it for years, the parents of teenagers are more intimidated by their teenagers than they are anything else, for the most part. I believe it with all my heart. I've seen it so many times. You know, you can sit back and judge somebody else's teenager, and boy, that kid's trouble, and, you know, that kid is cruising for a bruise, and so on and so forth. But if you're not careful, when you come approach that 13, 14-year-old phase with your kid, you will be more intimidated by your child than anything else in this life. It's just really easy then to just let them, you know, go through with some things and give them more liberty, not restrain them, not displease them at any time. And that's, folks, in part why we wind up where we are. Now, I don't know at what point you cease, as in Proverbs 19, verse 18, chasten thy son while there is hope, let not thy soul spare for his crying. It's probably not terrible. I don't know how late you guys that are my age, I don't know how late your mother and father spanked you when you were a kid. I don't recall being spanked when I was 16. I outweighed my dad by 75 pounds. He could have still whipped me if he wanted to, that's for sure. But I guess my point is, I know that you're not going to keep spanking a kid when he especially is 14, 15, 16, 17, 18 years old. I don't know what the proper cutoff is. I know this, you have to start young, and you have to start consistent. And you spank them because you love them. You spank them consistently, and you don't try to bruise them and hurt them, right? You don't do it because you're angry, right? Now, again, it's kind of for the record, because I don't want anybody saying, well, yeah, Brother Stevens, me just blazing them, beating them to death with a belt or whatever. That is not the case. I can tell you this, we have never, ever abused our kids in any way, shape, or form. Okay? Do I know somebody that has? Not in this room, no. I know folks out there that have, yes. And I think that it's easy to go too far. If you have a bad temper, you have to be careful because you can go too far. But I'll tell you this. A kid that's under 1 year old will learn from a swat once in a while. Now, okay, I'm not telling you to go whip your 9-month-old, okay? I'm telling you, though, a swat on the behind of a 1 year old is worth an awful lot of words. Just true. Why? Because chasing thy son while there is hope. In other words, there's a day when, you know, things become kind of hopeless. For a while, it's somewhat in your control. I don't think you should let your kids run over you. If they are 14 years old, I don't believe you should let your kid run over you. It's easy for me to say because my kid ain't going to run over me. Okay? I know for some it's easier. I understand that. But you should not let your kid run over you. Chasten thy son while there is hope. Because there comes a day when you turn them over to God and say, God, I've done all that I can, or maybe I haven't done all that I can, but now it's out of my control, and now you're going to have to deal with them. That is a very helpless scenario. You will live a life filled with regret for what you did not do. Okay? So chasten thy son while there is hope. Let not thy soul spare for his crying. Now, I know you know the verses. I understand that. Look in Proverbs 29. So, you know, the Minnesota ordinance states that corporal punishment that is moderate is still legal. Of course, if you leave marks and the right people raise the right amount of ruckus, you're going to have a hard time proving moderateness, if that's a word. But Proverbs 29:15, I would advise you, look, you're not going to be able to spank your kid in Walmart anymore. When we were raising our first kids, when Seth and Daniel were little, there was still a day you could take a kid in a bathroom at Walmart and wear him out, you know? But you know what? You can't do that anymore. In fact, you shouldn't even try. Just don't even do it. Don't even think about it. Put duct tape over their mouth, tie them to the cart, and wait till you get them home. But you're going to have to be discreet. If you live in an apartment, you're going to have to figure out a way to spank them so the Somalis next door can't hear you cry and make them cry. But Proverbs chapter 29, is that what I said? 29:15. I know you know these verses. The rod and reproof give wisdom. But a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Now, you know, I know that we live in a day where a lot of times a kid has to be kind of self-maintaining for part of the day. That's part of life, right? But you have parents now raising kids. The kids have no direction whatsoever. They don't even get direction in school. Answers aren't even wrong in school anymore. They get to do what they want to in school. Public schools now look like zoos, some sort of a creepy, looks like Halloween every day. And folks, they're not going to get direction anywhere else. You need to see to it that you know what your kids are doing and keep up with it. Yes, Chris. Leprosy, yeah.
I went to the school nurse. First thing out of her mouth,
how about that? Even then. Wow, you're older than me, too. You knew that, right? Proverbs 29:15. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. When the wicked are multiplied, transgression increaseth, but the righteous shall see their fall. Correct thy son, he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. Okay, just chasten thy son, correct thy son. Look in Proverbs 22, real quick. 15, here's the famous verse, right? Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. I wish that child rearing was a sterile exercise, procedure. You know, you could just put them in a bubble and keep them away from all manner of negative influences, but you can't. You really can't. You know why? Because foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. You know what? They'll get in plenty of trouble all by themselves. So you put a little group of them together, five-year-old friends, that's a room full of foolishness. And you know what you say? Well, they just can't have any friends then. That's pretty stupid. Because the foolishness is in each and every one of their hearts to start with. All right? Now, let's go back to Proverbs 23:13. You guys know these verses. And I don't question that at all. 23:13. I've learned for my part, and again, if you talk to Seth, that's why I sent Daniel down south so you couldn't talk to him, but if you can talk to Seth, he'd probably agree that if there's one thing that we always manage. Seth did get spankings, that's for sure. But you know, one of the things that we consistently did with him was we talked to him, all right? Now, folks, I was raised by a dad that did not talk to me. I don't mean that he wouldn't say good morning or talk about something, but as far as father-son stuff, you know, the facts of life type stuff, and, you know, behavior type stuff, all he told me was if I brought home a black girl to marry, I was going to be in trouble. Okay? As far as any real, it's just true. Said if I ever came home with an earring, I was in trouble. Okay? We talked about that. But as far as, you know, the bumps and bruises of life, you know, in high school and so on, he never pulled me aside to talk to me about when I had a girlfriend in high school, how I should behave myself. Never had that talk, ever, 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 okay? Now, if you don't, you're a dummy, a real dummy, okay? I think Seth would probably recall that over and over again, we'd wind up, me and him, in his room, we'd sit down for about 30 minutes and at least one of us would wind up crying, not because we were beating up each other either, all right? The reason was because we'd get down there and get down to the bottom of something, right? Misbehavior, sneaking around, you know, whatever. I've gone to Seth's room before and apologized to him for something I did, right? Thing is, if you will be consistent, if you will spank them when they're young, consistently when they're young, and train them, and then when they get older, talk to them communicate with them, obviously pray for them, try to get them to read their Bible, all those things. I'm not making those secondary at all. But for what it's worth, those things work pretty good. Talk to your kids. Again, what I've found is that parents sometimes don't want to talk to their kids because they're kind of scared about what their kids might be into. They're kind of scared about what they might hear if they dig too deep, right? And all I can say is, you better go digging. Because if you won't communicate with them, they'll communicate with somebody else. I'll guarantee you somebody else is communicating with them, all right? So get them aside once in a while when the attitude gets bad. First step for a 16-year-old is not necessarily take him back there and beat him or anything, but take him to his room, say, I want to talk to you about something, and then stay in there till you get down to the bottom of it, right? Now, folks, I'm telling you that works if you'll do it from day one all the way up through. I think most folks would agree. I had somebody accuse me one time of raising a robot. By that, I think they were complaining that since they were so liberal with their kids, that because our kids minded and said, yes, sir, that meant they were robots, right? But in general, I mean, our boys, when I said, don't do that, I wanted them not to do that. I didn't expect to be questioned about it, right? So, you know, there is the school of thought that do what I say regardless of whether you like it or not. And that's all good, especially at 3 years old, 4 years old, 5 years old, 6 years old. But you know what, folks, by the time I'm talking about communication here, by the time a kid is 12, 13, 14, I guarantee you, he's seen more in life than you sometimes would care to know. He may have seen more in you sometimes than you would care to know. By 12, 13, and 14, when they start asking you why on certain things, you should explain it to them. Our kids got to an age where, why don't we celebrate Christmas? Why don't we go trick-or-treating? Why does Mom always wear skirts? You know, why can't we do this? Why can't we do that? Why don't we ever go to the theater? And you know what? Some of those questions are not always easy. Because sometimes, not everybody in here does something or doesn't do something because it's just right or wrong. It's the fact that sometimes you have to draw a line somewhere, right? I mean, I don't know. It's really hard to draw a line on something somewhere and say, from here, it's right, and from here, it's wrong. Anything in between, it's right or wrong. It's not always that way, but everybody in here has made decisions that, where you say, we're not going to go any further with this, right? Okay. Well, explain that to your kids. But you've got to talk to them or else they will grow up not having been communicated with. They'll have questions about why you did things, why we did things. And by the way, it'll also keep you honest because sometimes a kid will ask a question, you'll go, let me get back to you on that. Because I've not been exactly consistent with this all the time and I'm a little ashamed of maybe what may have led you to ask this question. So I'll get back with you, right? But communicate with your kids. All right, Proverbs 19. Look at let's go back to chapter 13, verse 24 real quick. Go ahead and run this other reference or two, which again, I know you know. Because it's not just about whooping them. That's the thing is, I believe in a spanking for sure. I think a kid that gets to 7 or 8 years old that hasn't had a spanking yet, there's probably been a crime committed against that kid. All right? But at the same time, I know it's not just about a whooping. It's a lot more than that. Proverbs 13, 24. He that spareth his rod hateth his son. He that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. So you chasten them early. You chasten them betimes. Folks, when they start throwing a fit, I mean a snot-slinging, heel-kicking fit at 9 months old, you need to stop it now. Because at 19, you ain't going to stop it. I mean, you can stop it when it's a 10-pound little bundle of joy. When it's a 250-pound bundle of joy, You ain't stopping them. Chasing them betimes. If they have a temper, deal with their temper when they're little. Because once they're 13 and 14, mom, you're not going to take that temper and change it. Not now. Teach them discipline. Teach them character. Teach them what is right, what is wrong. No, you can't do this. This is an absolute no early. And again, there's going to come a day where they say, okay, I haven't done it, but why? Why don't we? And you need to be ready with that answer. But communicate with them. All right? Proverbs chapter 19, verse 18. There's a story about this mom, modern mom. She was into psychology and Dr. Spock and all that stuff. Had about 5 or 6 kids, and one day dad went away on a sales journey or whatever. Came home, one of the kids met him at the door, kind of wild-eyed, kind of crying and bawling, and said, Dad, you got to come in, hurry, because mom lost her psychology book and she's using her own judgment now. She had picked up a paddle and started going to town. Yes, sir, Steve. Yeah. Yeah. Yes, sir. Well, I hope that's true. I hope that last part's true. They're desperately looking. Because one of the things I'd hold and say is that if you don't start out with that foundation of discipline and chastisement, they ain't going to listen to you later. So, you know, this, well, let's just sit around and talk. I'm not saying that. You need to start with discipline and chastisement. And then one day when they're 14, they'll respect you and they will talk to you. But, you know, if you think, I don't think for a minute this average psych counselor at the average public high school does any good whatsoever. Drags a kid in, we should share what's going through your mind. You don't even want to know what's going through their mind. That's the thing. So, verse 18, chasten thy son, while there is hope, let not thy soul spare for his cry. A man of great wrath shall suffer punishment. Moses lost his temper more than once. Suffered punishment more than once, right? Jonah lost his temper, suffered punishment. A man of great wrath shall suffer punishment. For if thou deliver him, yet thou must do it again. Now what that seems to say is that you got a friend trying to help this guy with this temper problem. And that, you know, if the guy has really got this problem and really isn't, you know, under control at all, whatever, you know, whatever you do to him, you know, you're going to have to go back and rescue him again. It's just like, I suppose, any of the rest of the passions we sometimes talk about. You know, it's hard to break the habit of lying. So if you deliver a liar once, you're probably going to have to deliver him again, right? If you deliver a drunk once, you're probably going to have to deliver him again. If somebody's a sucker for you know, lustful passion, that sort of thing, you're probably going to go have to rescue them from that again. So verse 19, a man of great wrath shall suffer punishment. But if thou deliver him, for if thou deliver him, yet thou must do it again. Very famous verse again, verse 20. Hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. Now, folks, you know what that counsel is. I know you do. Look in Proverbs 1, 25. We talk about this so often, I'm not going to go into it very much depth here. You know the counsel that you need is God's counsel. And if a brother or sister in Christ can help you, and they can, with something that God says, then you need to go to them. Proverbs 1:25. But ye have set at naught all my counsel. Boy, nothing could be truer today. I don't mean in this church, but sometimes even here you find, you know, traces of it. But boy, is that ever true in the modern church. Verse 25, you have set at naught all my counsel. Anytime something comes up about long hair or dress on women or any of those social type standards, you know what they always say, right? Well, that's cultural. Or our tradition allows this, that, and the other, right? And you know what that is? That is setting at naught God's counsel. There are very few cultural excuses in the Bible. Okay, there are, I'll grant you, we don't marry our children off like they did in the Bible. We don't betroth them first, right? I don't pick the kid that my son or daughter is going to marry, right? We don't do that. I'll grant you that, okay? Greet one another with a holy kiss. I'll grant you. We don't do that either. But beyond that, when we start talking about, that was tongues, by the way. Anybody interpret? Because I don't know what I said. Where was I? What was I saying? I don't even remember. Yeah, cultural issues. But you know, folks, when it comes to long and short hair and that sort of stuff, that is not cultural. When we start talking about women leadership, as far as preachers and teachers and so on, that is not cultural. Now, you may think me a hypocrite because I don't give you a big smacker every time you come in the door. I'm really sorry. I don't want to look like a queer. Okay? I don't want to get in trouble with somebody's husband. So, there. That's not cultural. That's not cultural. But they set at naught, verse 25, all my counsel and would none of my reproof. The quote-unquote church, I'm not talking about our church, the church is quickly coming to a day when nobody can say anything negative to anybody about their life. If you do, you're critical, judgmental, and the Holy Spirit's not in it. Okay? They would none of my reproof. I mean, I was in someplace the other day, and they had a Christian radio station on. And it sounded like, I mean, I'm familiar with contemporary Christian music, but this was acid Christian music. And, you know, somebody said, well, what do you think about that? I said, I think it stinks. Oh, well, aren't you a Christian? Yeah, it's, that's the deal. I am a Christian. And that's the thing, folks. I mean, they've now come to a day where the people in church are living like they live out there and say they're doing it to the glory of God. And that's not true. They would none of my reproof. All right, Proverbs 1, 26. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. Somebody should take that to heart, right? That's living like they want to live. I mean, nobody wants to be laughed at by God. I mean, nobody wants to think about the possibility that when I am in the most severe pain of my life, emotionally, spiritually, morally, whatever, that God is sitting up on the throne with his hiding his mouth behind his hand, snickering at me. Right? Nobody wants that. But the Bible says that's what happens. I'm not sure he's hiding it behind his hand either. He may be guffawing for all you know. Verse 27. When your fear cometh, as desolation, your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, and I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. That's where we're going today, folks, and things. And that's why we say that this thing with counsel is just, it's so rudimentary. But even me, folks, I don't know about you, but, you know, there's not that terribly many things that I launch off and do myself without asking some of you guys about it. Maybe it's Brother Grissom, Brother Darling, just some of you, but there's just not that many independent decisions that I make personally, and I'm the pastor, you know, without getting somebody's feedback on it. You know why? Because most of these guys have lived just as long as I have. Some of them have been Christians just about as long as I have. And you know what? I'm smart enough to know that I'm a sinner. I'm smart enough to know that sometimes I get the bit in my mouth and I want to run with it. Sometimes somebody has to say, Brother Stevens, you better slow down. Sometimes my wife says that, Brother Stevens, you better slow down. I don't ask her, but she tells me. I'm just kidding. Proverbs 19, she gets to talk on Thursdays. She can say anything she wants on Thursday. She has to keep her mouth shut the rest of the time. Let that get around the country. This will be online after the service. All right. Let's turn to Jeremiah 17 real quick. Hear counsel, receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. Jeremiah 17, 23. Jeremiah 17, 23. But they obeyed not, neither inclined their ear, but made their neck stiff, that they might not hear nor receive instruction. Okay, they obeyed not, neither inclined their ear, but made their neck stiff, that they might not hear nor receive instruction. Here's what I think. You see that obeying early in that verse? I think if you are set in your heart before you hear something, I think most folks are set before they start with what they want to hear, because they're intent on not doing something the way the Bible says. And so they go in wanting to hear what they want to hear, and if they don't, they're stiff-necked, they won't receive reproof, they won't receive instruction. That's how most counseling goes, to be honest with you. Proverbs, I'm not saying it's always the case with you guys, I'm just saying. Proverbs 19, 20. Again, we could run a bunch of verses on counsel and so on. Look in 21:30 real quick, then we'll move on. I've always liked this one. Pretty much ties the rag on the bush. There is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. Whatever else you can say, whenever you're seeking counsel, understanding, or wisdom, contrary to what you know God said, you are wasting your time. And somewhere along the way, you're going to find somebody that will tell you what you want to hear, and then you're really on the wrong track, right? Proverbs 19, 21. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. Now, you know what? That's a relief in some regard, because whatever else is the case, no matter how bad I screw things up, God's going to make it right in the end. No matter how bad President Obama messes things up, things are going to be all right one day, right? But in this passage, there are many devices in a man's heart. Look down in 19:3, these devices, and there are several verses here that are akin to this one. 19:3, the foolishness of man perverteth his way, and his heart fretteth against the Lord. Fretteth. That's that fretting heart we talked about a couple weeks back. Well, there are many devices in a man's heart. Now, Not all devices are bad, I guess, but Proverbs 1:31, these are bad devices. Proverbs 1:31. Remember, we were just in this passage just a minute ago, right? So here you have the same theme with the same wording basically related in these two passages. Verse 31, 1:31. Therefore, shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. Now, you know what that is? That is Romans 1 boiled down. They are filled with their own devices. You keep pushing the Lord, you'll wind up getting your way. Very likely. And He'll give you over to yourself. You'll wind up with a reprobate mind, and then before you know it, somebody else is pulling the strings, right? Look in Psalm 106. Psalm 106. The devices of a man's heart. Psalm 106, verse 39. They were defiled with their own works and went a-whoring with their own inventions. There's that man's heart fretting again. There are those devices. So men invent stuff. So they go a-whoring with their own inventions. Right? All right. Let's go back to Proverbs 19 real quick. Shut this down here pretty quick. 21. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. Now you have to like that, folks. I mean, whatever else the case, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. Isaiah 34. Isaiah 34. I like holding a book that is going to be true regardless of what anybody else thinks, no matter what anybody else says. Isaiah 34, 16. We could quote a dozen verses this way, but on this matter. But 34, 16. Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. No one of these shall fail. None shall want or mate. From my mouth it hath commanded, and His Spirit it hath gathered them. Now, folks, whatever God said is going to happen, whether you like it or not, it shall stand. Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40. Verse 8. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. One passage says, what is the chaff to the wheat, right? Jeremiah 44, 28. This last one will be done. Jeremiah 44, 28. Yet a small number that escape the sword shall return out of the land of Egypt into the land of Judah, and all the remnant of Judah that are gone into the land of Egypt to sojourn there shall know whose word shall stand, mine or theirs. I like that. I really do. One of these days, all the rotten, stinking things the Rahm Emanuels of this world have said, the Barack Obamas, and for that matter, the Al Gores and the Bill Clintons and all those idiots and that teach in institutions of higher learning, one day we'll see whose word's going to stand, God's or theirs. I know who's going to win. That's a blessing. Anything else? Jerry. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right. Amen. All right, number 149. We're close tonight. Don't forget Card for Dawn back on the back table. Brother Jerry has a box of books there back there for $8 if you're interested in a good book on Roman Catholicism and evolution. Okay, so it's going to go to mission, so don't worry about Brother Jerry pocketing it or anything. 149. We'll be dismissed, folks. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us, and we pray here tonight that you'll help some of these things to sink in. For Lord, I know that most of what we covered tonight, folks know. At the same time, Lord, we sometimes get hardened and callous to the truth because we do hear it so much, and sometimes we mistaken the fact that we know it with the fact that we ought to be living it. So we pray you'd give us wisdom in dealing with these things, some sensitive stuff touched on here tonight. We pray you'd make us better for it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.